Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, let's get this thing started. The phone number to participate is 312-332-3776. I was on KJZ today. That's what the cool kids call it. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Was on Levitard's show, too, all in conjunction with Giving Tuesday.
You're going to be on our show all 4 hours? Is this just a guest appearance?
Well, I hope that the Wi-Fi stays.
Oh.
I feel like the guy who was over here from Xfinity, and shout out to them, I've had no issues for months and months and months. And just in the last day or two, I've had some issues, and they were here immediately. And he believes he troubleshot the problem.
Really? What was
yeah.
it? What did Braxton do? Did he flush something down a toilet?
Well, yeah, that's separate. Oh. That's non-internet-related issues. That's ongoing.
All right.
There is not an Xfinity person who could fix that issue, Waddle. But yeah, I think we have a more, hopefully, watch me get knocked off here in the next 5 minutes. So I don't want to jinx it.
There's no such thing as jinxes.
Yes, there are.
No, there's not.
There's
no such thing as a jinx.
There is.
No.
Maybe not a no-hit jinx, but there are things as jinxes.
No.
Sure there is.
No, that's just
that's
a crutch. You're leaning on a crutch.
Not.
That is, there's no such thing as a jinx.
It's totally jinx.
You can't jinx anything. What
yes, you
just
can.
Said cannot make the internet in your house go out.
It
I'm
is.
Sorry, it
yes.
can't. No.
Jinx is...
No.
It's real.
Wrong.
Stuff happens.
No, it does. Stuff happens, but it doesn't happen because you said the wrong thing.
You want a jinx story real quick? So,
yeah.
So we were golfing once, and I found an Alabama golf ball.
Roll
and I'm
tide.
Like, roll tide. I'm never playing with this because I will lose this golf ball because I'm not good at golf. So I took it out of my bag, and we have this centerpiece that my wife made, and I set it in it to see how long it would see if she found it. She found it last week, moved it. Saban got COVID.
Oh, wow.
So
see?
The golf ball went right back in.
No, that's no. not.
That
has nothing
superstition
to do with it.
Jinxes?
That's a jinx.
No, absolutely.
It's not. No, it's not.
Do you know during the 2016?
It's a quinky dink. That's what we call
is
those.
It?
It's just a coincidence.
I don't want to take those kind of chances.
During the 2016 baseball season, my mom gave both Mason and Braxton a Cubs cuckoo clock. I know that sounds weird.
Excuse me?
It's a Cubs cuckoo clock.
What happens when it strikes whatever hour?
Harry Carey's voice comes on and the bird comes out of the little house on top, and he says, holy cow, and stuff like that.
And I'm sure Mason would have rather had, like, you know, a motorized bike or something like that. He got a cuckoo clock where Harry Carey's talking to it.
They got everything they need.
Okay.
And during the 2016 season, under superstition, every night I put him to bed, we had to open the cuckoo clock door 3 times for the bird to come out, and then I would put him to bed. And that would provide the Cubs good luck for the 2016 season.
What happened? I got a question
for you. I think it's
a
little bit manic, too.
I got a question for you, then. What the F haven't you been doing for the Bears in 2020, then?
I know, right?
Like, really, if you're gonna lean on that as the reason why the rain came down and everything went the way it did in Cleveland that night, why can't you do something similar for this crappy Bears team?
There are some things that go on past the point of no return. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They're beyond repair.
Yeah, and you know what it is? It's because there's no such thing as a jinx.
312-332-3776, your best jinx story.
No.
Tell Waddle there are jinxes.
There's no such thing as a jinx.
I mean, no plans of
there's
talking about this.
There's cause and effect.
Don't you think if you would have been a little more cautious with jinxes, that your career would have lasted longer
in football? No, I think if my ass was a little faster and I was a little bigger and stronger and more athletic, my career would have lasted longer. It wasn't a jinx. This is my mom and dad's fault.
You never know, though.
You think this bad complexion is a jinx? No, it's DNA, brother. There's an explanation for everything.
Let me look at you here, too, on the Twitch
app.
Look what
I'm wearing on today's
Bears Alumni Day.
That's not what I was saying. This is what I'm wearing.
Oh, thank
today.
You. Very yeah. good. Did you so do that because asked, it's Giving Tuesday?
Yes, exactly. The reason why.
And by the way, shout out to all the people who purchased the shirt that Waddle's wearing.
Yes.
You can see it right now.
Sylvie Strong.
On the Twitch channel. I talked to Joe at Obvious Shirts, too. He still has a few shirts left. So there are two styles. It all benefits the V Foundation on this Giving Tuesday. And thank you to all the great listeners, supporters, fans of this show. We raised nearly $44,000 all for cancer research.
It's awesome.
So, it was just something that helped fuel me and was something that I was so proud of. And it was just great to see the community, the sense of community, not only at the radio station like Waddle showing his shirt.
I'm repping today.
But the listeners. And it's just we all united in a really, really tough time. But, yeah, you can watch the show on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. But to get to the point about being on these shows, you know, the original hook was for Giving Tuesday and for me to tell my story. But, man, I didn't think I'd be talking this much Bears on KJZ. And they were really interested in finding out what's going on with Nagy.
Well, I thought Keyshawn had a really good presentation on his thoughts on it all. I know, I'm sure you did as well. But
so
sum
up, what did he have to say?
Well, do we have what he had to say, Chris? No, we don't. I think he was just basically saying, like, hey, look, I mean, this is, I don't know why you're pointing the finger at everybody else. Point the finger at yourself.
Well, he did the old trick. You can rip anybody you want as long as you start with yourself.
Right.
He did the, hey, coaches. This goes for all the coaches. Coaches, you know, we got to look ourselves in the mirror. By the way, defense, you guys suck, and you guys need to watch more film. But the point of all of this is, Waddle, is I love it because it's exactly what I told you last week. If they're going to be bad, I want the national media to be disgusted by it, too, and to feel our pain. And that's why I've loved being on Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football this past year. And I really believe that even though it was a calculated thing that Matt Nagy wanted to do yesterday, going into the press conference and, quote, put everybody on notice, all he did was put his ass on the hot seat even more. Because all the talk today has been is, hey, did you hear what Matt Nagy said? You know, yes, they had their 24 hours in the wake of the Sunday night game against the Green Bay Packers with the embarrassment. But now for 24 hours more, the news cycle continues with the Bears, where nationally they're talking about Matt Nagy's desperate. Matt Nagy's on the hot seat. That means Ryan Pace is on the hot seat. And now all of a sudden, one of the teams being talked about nationally is not just the Jets, not just these really bad teams, but our team, and I love it.
Yeah, they are in the crosshairs. There's no doubt. And for good reason. Look, I thought it was a day late, dollar short, the presentation yesterday, and it's kind of odd that it comes a week before you play the Lions. And the Lions, I believe, are followed by the Houston Texans, who are missing a couple more of their starters. And then after that game, it's the Miami or the Minnesota Vikings, a team that, yes, they did kick you in the marbles here a couple of weeks ago, but that's not a team you're afraid of, right? And then after that game, it's Jacksonville. So what's the narrative going to be 4 weeks from now?
And I mean, how will that impact what they want to do?
Like, right now, I'm with you right now that after the last 5 weeks, and I think collectively as a show, we kind of put out the warning signs that, hey, this record is great, but we can walk and chew gum at the same time, and there's some bad signs here. So this may go sideways for a while. And then what happened? Then you actually started to play some tough competition. And after starting 5-1, you lost to the Rams, you lost to the Saints, you lost to the Titans, you lost to the Vikings, you lost to the Packers. And oh, by the way, again, I'm not selling you, you know, rainbows and sunshine here. I'm just bringing you I'm going to bring you these facts, and you tell me how you feel.
So you're telling me that in an offense that thrives in garbage time,
yes,
that now that they've already crushed their hopes at 5-6, that they could rally and win some of these garbage time games just enough to save all their jobs.
What I'm saying to you, yes, in the roundabout way, is I'm just playing the just asking game, okay? It's a game I enjoy, and it's a game that I think I'm fairly good at. I'm not good at real games or answering the question game. But
you're like Matt Nagy. You don't have many solutions.
I don't have any answers. I just have a lot of questions. And I just wrote this text to you guys earlier today. Bears have just lost five straight to teams that are collectively 37-18. As I said, you're going to have to check my math because I was doing this upstairs while I was working out. I wasn't around a calculator, and I couldn't work my phone well enough. And you know what I'm saying.
So what are you lifting at this time? What can you paint me a picture?
I'm working out.
Yeah, so you're lifting.
I'm doing bands with my shoulders, and then I'm in between different sets. I'm going back and forth on my phone to check the records of all the teams, like the Rams.
Okay, sure.
And then I got to go to the Saints and to the Titans and the Vikings and the Packers. And my quick math came to the conclusion that those teams collectively over the last five games, this five-game losing streak, are against some of the better teams in the National Football League. Vikings are who the Vikings are, but in 2020, the Vikings are, you know, probably a slightly above-average team in the NFL in this COVID season. But collectively, I believe those teams are 37-18. The next four games you play are against the Lions, the Texans, the Vikings again, and the Jags. Those teams are 14-30. The Lions have fired their coaches. The Texans are without two more starters. The Vikings don't scare anybody. And the Jags are the Jags. So I'm just asking you the question.
Here's my answer, and we're all in
agreement. This thing needs to be flushed. What happens if that team goes on a four-game run against some of the lesser opponents in the National Football League? And that's what we do. Like you would when they're down 20, it's Mitchie time. Like that's when they thrive offensively. Well, you may not get down 20 against some of these teams. So I'm just asking you, if they do what seems to be the unthinkable and they win these four games and you get to 9-6 a month from now, or let's say they get to 8-7 and you've got one final game left in the season against the Packers that could determine whether or not you go to the postseason. A month from now, what are we going to be saying about the direction of this organization? I can tell you if they go 4-0, against these next four opponents, I'm 99% sure I'm not going to change how I feel about them long term. But you know, if they beat up the weaker teams in the NFL and they get to 9-6 or 8-7 playing the Packers, which means you're either going to, I mean, I don't know, maybe the Packers rest all their guys at that point. Maybe you go 10-6 and you get in the playoffs. Maybe you go 9-7 and you still get in the playoffs. Maybe you don't, but I'm saying if you do, then what?
I think I have a simple answer for you, at least in my world. 312-332-3776. Answer Waddle's question. Also, what did you make of this last 12 hours with all the publicity with Matt Nagy and what he said? And we'll remind you what he said. We'll play you some of the sound. But what do you think this does? What do you think? Like, as someone who wants change, I've enjoyed it because indirectly, when he thinks he's putting his team on notice, all he's really done is put his ass on notice, his own, because it's exposed him in the national media, and it's got more national media members talking about the disaster that is the Chicago Bears. So he indirectly put them more in the spotlight and turned up the heat on his seat even hotter. I want to answer Waddle's question, get to your phone calls, and Abdallah also had an interesting point. Could one of the guys in Pace and Nagy survive while the other one gets fired? Or are they a package deal at this point? We'll get to all your phone calls next.
For many, coming home for the holidays is filled with traditions. If you if you'll be missing home or a visit from someone special this year, there's still one holiday tradition you can count on. Lou Malnati's Taste of Chicago ships their famous deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites like Portillo's Beef, Garrett's Popcorn, and many more Chicago classics. Visit LouToGo.com or call 1-800-LOU-TO-GO to deliver the flavors of home.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Reminder that today is a Would You Rather Tuesday. Get your Would You Rather questions in. Use the hashtag WS. Would You Rather. Send them to Black and Abdallah on Twitter. They'll read the best ones. We're going to do it a little earlier today at 4:15. We've got Greeny at 4:30. You'll have a chance to win some booze from Grand and Western Liquors.
Yeah.
Make them fun, make them interesting, creative, funny. Whatever you think will catch our eye. WS, would you rather on the hashtag, send it to Black and Abdallah. Here's the way I would answer your question about winning against these teams when they're 5-6 now, when they're already on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. I told you yesterday that the reason these guys are gone is not because I want heads to roll or because, you know, I need that satisfaction of men losing jobs. It's for the fact that I don't trust any of these guys to come up with solutions. Just because the Bears may beat four teams who are worse than them or aren't good in that moment, doesn't mean that Ryan Pace can fix the quarterback situation. I don't want him near the 2021 draft. Don't want him near it.
I agree with you. But if they go to the postseason, you really think they're going to fire anybody?
You're probably right. Do you have faith in that they can win here out of five?
I'm not saying that. And as a matter of fact, I think I was texting all you guys watching the Thanksgiving Houston game and saying to everyone, listen, anyone who thinks the Bears are going to walk over the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson are kidding themselves. I'm just telling you it's a possibility. Am I wrong? Anybody want to dispute that it is? Is it unthinkable?
I think their sky is three. I think the sky and the limit is three.
Okay, so three would get them to 8-7 playing the Green Bay Packers, who may or may not be playing for anything at that point.
And I'm counting that game. Three out of five is their absolute ceiling. They're not good enough not to stumble in a couple of the games.
And Green Bay should be playing for a number one seed.
Okay, maybe they will. I'm just saying. I don't know. I mean, listen, in this with what's going on right now, we've got games playing on Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Monday. Look, you don't know what's ahead of you in the next 5 to 6 weeks. I'm not predicting it. This exercise was not for me to get on a soapbox and tell you all, despite this hideous performance we've seen over the last 5 weeks, I got them at 8-8. I had them at 8-8 to start the season. I had them at 8-8 when they were 5-1. I have them at 8-8 now when they're 5-6.
But that's what George should be saying. Like, I know you said, well, what do you think they're going to do? George owns the team. George should say, am I closer to getting that quarterback?
Of course.
And the answer is no.
Yes.
Am I closer to having a guy who knows how to run the offense capably? The answer there is no. Have you developed any offensive players under your tenure in 3 years with Matt Nagy? We don't know if Cole Kmet's good. We don't know if Montgomery's good. We don't know if Anthony Miller's bad or if he hasn't been developed. The answer to that is I don't let him develop any more players. So, again, we think the Bears, if they do win 4 out of 5 and either make the playoffs or come close, will bring everyone back because it's easy. But it's his team, and I would hope he would answer those real questions with a realistic answer.
I would hope the same.
So
I'm just telling you, like, this is a possibility. Where we sit right now, and as you said, and as you presented, the national media is on board with the angst and the frustration and the anger that we have all shared for weeks, if not months. They are now kind of finally on board with it. I'm just telling you, a month from now,
right?
Like, what was the rest of the national media saying when this team was 5-1? What were some of the local guys saying when this team was 5-1?
Most of us knew they were the most flawed 5-1 team.
Okay,
right?
But the national group wasn't saying that. No way was the consensus nationally that this Bears team was about to go on a 5-game losing streak and look horrible.
No, but that they were flawed.
Flawed, but not the way we looked at them.
Okay.
I'm just saying now everyone's on board. If they get to, let's just again say, if they win 4 in a row against some bad teams, do you think the national media is going to be as critical of them as we are? No. And the only reason I even bring that up is because I think that we're being critical. The national media is being critical. They're coming off an embarrassing loss. The thought is now that there's this momentous tidal wave of hope for change. I'm telling you that that tidal wave may go back out to sea a month from now.
Like only the Bears can do.
I'm just telling you that it's stupid to put your head in the sand and think that that's not possible.
No, you're absolutely right.
I'm looking at Adam Abdallah right now. How many wins do you see in the next four? Tell me how many do you think are possible. No,
those are the same guys who 4 weeks ago when I listened to the first 5 minutes of their show, they were saying the rest of the media doesn't get it. This Bears team is better than we think.
Okay, I'll give them an opportunity to respond to that, Barb, right there.
So did literally everyone else. You picked them to beat the Rams too, Sylvie.
Okay, like this is we're a team. Let's not fight amongst ourselves.
I know that, but when we were all...
I think we should fight. Let's go. Let's bring this on.
Don't you remember I told you those first 5 minutes of that show, you guys zagged when everyone was...
Listen, I sat in the meeting room and argued with Black and Abdallah for a half hour about it.
And the point that we were making is exactly the point that Waddle is making right now for us. The last 10 minutes of the show, that's the point we were making on that night because they were ahead of the schedule, 5-1. They had enough wins. Now all they have to do is scrape together half of the wins.
Well, my point was
the rest of the season. It was at the midway point. Right, that was the point that we were saying.
Right, but my point was is despite their record, they're not a good football team.
Right.
That's right. They may not be, but they could still make the playoffs.
I get it.
Which is your point today.
Yes, so I'm saying to you, how outlandish is it to sit here and say that as bad as this team has been, you know they thrive against the weaker teams.
That would be so Bears that they would win just enough where everyone saves their ass.
That's my point.
And they have some useless playoff game that they include an extra eighth team, and then the draft pick is worse, and we're stuck in the middle forever.
So, Sylvie, here's what brings it full circle. We all have to remember, as Bears fans, what we wanted when Lovie Smith was fired. Why was Lovie Smith fired?
Because they didn't get to the postseason.
And they weren't winning in the postseason, right?
Because
it's a championship-caliber franchise in a championship-caliber city, and we deserve more as Bears fans. That was the target goal when Lovie was fired.
Getting there was even not... I mean, they had gotten to the postseason, despite the 10-6 record when he got fired. They had only been to the postseason once in the last 5 or 6 years.
Not good enough. Even though he was 10-6, not good enough. So, full circle, even if they make the playoffs and they lose in the wild card round and they look like crap the rest of the way out, but they find a way to manage to beat the Jags
Change
and the
should
Texans.
Still be here.
Change should still be there because the target goal of Bears fans when Lovie was fired was it was not acceptable. It was not good enough. They're not championship caliber. That's what we need.
That's now we're on the same page. And if Lovie Smith can get fired at 10-6 as your second winningest coach or third winningest coach in franchise history behind Halas and Ditka, then Ryan Pace should get fired.
I don't dispute what you say. I'm sitting here telling you if they get to the postseason this year, 2 out of 3 years, they're running it back with the same crew.
Steven Wheeling. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Waddle, Sylvie. Steve here from Wheeling. You know, I think it really starts from the top, starting with ownership. I know you've heard this many times. But me being a Seahawks fan for over 30 years living in the city, I kind of was in the situation of the Bears. In the beginning, as a fan, we barely made the playoffs. To me, it was until Paul Allen bought the team. Then he brought in, Mike Holmgren. And then after Mike Holmgren retired, Pete Carroll. We're talking 20 years of 15 years of playoff appearances, 3 Super Bowl appearances, and 1 win. You got to have that sustainability. I don't think the Bears had that the last, 20 years, 15 years. That's what you got to look for. And to me, you got to have that, and it's hard. Sometimes it's luck. For me right now, it's Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. You have to have that coach-quarterback relationship. It's like a marriage. You got to have that. If you don't have that, it's really tough to make it and sustain playoff success going forward.
It's basically been 30 years, almost 30 years since the Bears have had sustained success. I think Wani went to one playoff is all he went to. I think he had that one playoff run with you, Waddle, then
94, we beat the Vikings, and then we went to San Francisco and got our doors blown off.
Right, 95, they rewrote the Bears' record, offensive books, but they did not make the postseason. I think they went 9-7. 96, they weren't as good, and then 97, they started 0-7. 98, after that year, he was fired. Jerron flares up in 01, they get to the postseason, and after 01, it's not till 05 till Lovie Smith comes there, and they get eliminated eliminated by Steve Smith. 06, they get to the Super Bowl. They leave the Super Bowl, and they don't make the playoffs for the few years. And then in 10, they make it to the NFC Championship.
Look, the only reason I'm mentioning what I mentioned today is not because I think it's like highly likely. Because I think as bad as this offense has been, it's going to be very difficult for them to win four in a row, even against lesser teams. I'm just telling you that the narrative about what is going to transpire could be significantly different 4 weeks from now.
Yeah, let's go to Ken in Elk Grove. Kenny, you're on ESPN 1000.
He lost the fan base, so that's another loss for the Bears. But more important, Tommy, when you played, you didn't kick ass in the last 10 seconds to try and jump over the pile to get to the tag the quarterback to get the game over. You kicked ass from the first whistle on. I don't care if the Bears go 0-16, but let them know you played football. Don't run over to the TV screen and wave and dance and all that other crap. Play football. Knock the guy down. Don't pick him up. You play the next play. Tommy, show him how football really was played back in the day.
I was usually the one getting my ass kicked. I wasn't kicking anyone's ass.
Tommy, you stood back up and said, hit me again. I'm tired of going to Wisconsin getting my ass kicked because I'm a Bear fan.
Well, Ken, here's where you and I take different paths. I don't care how you get to 16-0. I mean,
get there.
Right. So,
but
I mean,
you
like,
care about 0-16. Don't give me this crap, Ken, that you don't care about 0-16.
Let's play some football. Otherwise, I'm going to be out in the backyard picking up dog shit every Sunday.
Right. Our fans are fired up, and I love it.
Yeah.
Let's play football.
Let's play football. Let's pick up dog.
Oh, wait, no, never mind.
I love that.
I'm just telling you. We're all in unison right now that things are just, they need to. You got games coming up with the Lions, the Texans, the Vikings, and the Jags.
All right, so I've got
asking.
I've got a would you rather question for you boys on this Would You Rather Tuesday coming up next about two scenarios. Would you rather 2014 happen again? Or would you rather have Waddle's scenario happen again? 332-3776. We'll get to that topic next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Not only what would you rather have happen, what is most likely to happen? If you have to go one of the two extremes, no middle here. No, well, it will be somewhere in the middle. We'll go 2-3 and 3-2. Do you think it's more likely that the Bears go 4-1 and rally to possibly make the playoffs, or that it's more likely that they go winless or win one game? And this turns into 2014. And when I say that, for those who don't remember, and Brandon Marshall said some interesting things today that we'll play later, 2014, that not only were the Bears bad, they got beat soundly in some of those games, but the culture, the players hated each other, they didn't believe in the coach, everything frayed in Mark Trestman's second year. Mel Tucker's defense was awesome, Trestman wasn't a good leader, Phil Emery was clueless, and everything spiraled out of control. So, A, Waddle, what is more likely of those two? And B, what would you rather have happen?
What I'd rather have happen is, that's a tough question for me because I can't root for my team to lose.
So then it is going 4-1.
Well, but what I'd rather have happen is that this team win games and they still change. But I know that that's not likely. Like, this team needs change. What's more likely, it's the reason why I brought the conversation up about it, because I mean, do you think they beat the Lions? Because it'll start with that game.
They should.
Okay, so let's say that for whatever reason, like, the Lions aren't the Packers. I mean, the teams that you just got done playing and losing to are significantly better than the group that's ahead of you in most instances. If you look at the next four games, you got the Lions, the Texans at home, at the Vikings, at the Jags. I said to the guys at the break, You're going to be favored in three or four of those, aren't you?
Right, right.
I mean, if you beat the Lions,
sure
you're already
in the Jags.
Right, you're already a favorite in against the Lions. If you beat the Lions, you're going to be a favorite at home against the Texans.
Those middle two, though, are more iffy with me. Deshaun Watson,
absolutely.
Even though shorthanded, they know you could put 40 on the board at that, as that team.
Listen, I wouldn't. I'm not saying the Lions are a layup. If they get Galladay back. And they
can
Swift, the running back, and they're inspired because everyone in the locker room detested Matt Patricia. Listen, this is not going to be a walk in a park on Sunday, especially the way that our team's playing. But history tells us that Mitchie comes to play against the Lions, right? That they, more times than not, get the best of the Lions.
And then Dan Weeder wants to know, he texted both of us. What would you need for odds to put up $100 that the Bears are 9-6 going into that last game?
I don't normally risk $100 on things, so I actually asked the guys before the show today. I said to them, I'd be willing to put $10 down that they'd win four in a row if you gave me the right odds.
Well,
and what
me,
the right
let me make
odds
it hurt
would be
a little bit, and that's what I'm asking. Let's make it hurt a little bit more though, like 100. I'm asking Tom Waddle to wager minimum $100.
How much?
What kind of value would you need to bet that the Bears win four in a row right now?
Could I get 20-1 odds?
Is that what you? I'm asking you what you would. Where,
I'd take 20-1
limit?
Odds. Yeah, 20-1 odds.
So 15-1, you wouldn't do it.
No, I do 20-1 odds. I bet 100 to win 2,000, right? Isn't that what the math would say? So that tells you how confident I am that they will.
So
I'm
you
just
would
not
need
20-1
odds.
Yeah, it's four straight games. Anything could happen. Like, I don't know who's going to be. Like, this is the reason I even bring this up again is in the era that they're playing. Like, the Broncos didn't have a quarterback on Sunday, fellas. Like, Adam Thielen missed the Vikings game against the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen next. The Texans just had two of their starters that are suspended for the rest of the year because of
COVID. Performance-enhancing
yes.
drugs.
Like, I don't know who's going to be available the you know, these 15th week of the season in Minnesota. Like, I have no idea. I'm just suggesting to you, it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's typical this era of Bears. You can't tell me that the thought is absolutely I'd ask you, what odds would you have to make to
well,
make
just so you
bet?
Guys know, you'd probably only get about 6-1 odds because
that's it.
Well, look, the Bears are a 3-point favorite this weekend. They're -165 on the money line. So this, let's say they're a 3-point favorite in those games. If you parlay four games of -165, like -150, -160, you're only getting 6-1 odds.
I'm not making that bet.
But are they going to be a 3-point favorite against the Texans and the Vikings? They should be a dog
at home.
Not against
no.
the Texans. Texans are 4-7.
Yeah.
They're coming
no,
here.
No, no, no. They should be a dog. I was going to finish. They're going to be a dog against the Vikings. Aren't they?
Are they?
More than likely, yes.
Okay, fine. I just made it. I just put a dog in there. I made it 9-1.
Or at least a pick.
I'd still be, and maybe I'm greedy. I get it. I would still, for 20-1, I'd make a $100 bet that they'd win four in a row.
Okay. So it would still take some really
good
odds.
Yes. Listen, I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying, folks, in the 2020 season, where this has been more crazy than any other year in your memory, isn't it? This team just got done getting the doors blown off of them five straight weeks, mostly because their offense is inept. But what was the other stat that I saw? Was it Potsy that put out there? That this Bears defense has allowed the last five quarterbacks, I think Potsy, who's joining us, I think,
yeah,
at 3 o'clock.
Potsy and Fishbane, I think, have
okay.
it.
That said that this defense has allowed a 100 rating to each of the last five quarterbacks that
yes.
they faced. Isn't that correct?
That's what he wrote, and Potsy's coming up at 3. He wrote, today's Kevin Fishbane fun fact. The Bears defense has allowed a quarterback rating of 100 or higher in five consecutive games. And remember, that came against Goff and Old Breeze. Tannehill,
yeah.
Cousins, and Rodgers. It's the first time the Bears have allowed a quarterback rating of even 90 or better in five straight games since 1998. That was Dave Wanstead's final year. Remember, I think they were 4-12 that year,
yeah.
Waddle.
Yeah.
4-12.
Listen, I can hear the concern in your voices just having to talk about this because it doesn't feel good, does it? The topic that I brought up or the
fake wins suck.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
It's garbage time points, garbage time wins.
Boom. Yes. That Sunday night game, that was a kick in the marbles. Forget the extra meaningless scores. That was 41-10. That was a 41-10 loss to me. Was it to you? 41-10.
Of course, yeah.
I can hear the pain in your voices even contemplating this because I know deep down in your football souls, you know what I'm saying and what I'm suggesting, just asking, is not 100% out of the picture.
Right.
And you know what the ultimate conclusion is going to be more than likely if, in fact, what I just presented to you, God forbid, comes to fruition for many.
Dizzle.
That there is not going to be the change that everyone wants. I'm just saying.
Dizzle in Mount Prospect, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dizzle?
Oh, Sylvie, what's up, my man?
What's up?
First of all, I just wanted to say, I know everyone says it on the air, but really glad you're doing well, man. I don't know what I'd do from 2 to 6 without you on the air. So
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So I got a weird and interesting kind of option if we ever do get rid of Nagy. Like, how about Tony Romo, if we can get him out? You know, obviously he's living the dream right now, golfing and doing whatever he wants. But wouldn't he be, like, the perfect head coach for the Bears? Like,
he's making $18 million.
Well,
he's making $18 million a year. Do you know the pay cut he would have to take?
Is Dizzle your birth name?
What's that?
Is Dizzle? I'm assuming, is that a nickname or is that a given name?
It's a nickname.
Oh, okay.
It's a nickname. It's okay. Everything that I've been given in high school.
Nice.
And I just wanted to hear Sylvie say it more than anything. But I mean, let's
say
make it simple
Sylvie.
For the
say
Bears,
it.
Right?
Call it like, Dizzle.
But, I mean, let's make it simple for the Bears and not get cute from a GM perspective. Get Lewis Riddick. I mean, we don't need, you know, everybody going crazy trying to figure out who this, like, the greatest GM is going to be. Get Riddick. He knows what he's doing. Gives us some legitimate credibility. Let's get Romo or someone like him. You know, obviously, I know he's getting paid a crap ton to be, you know, what he's doing. But he's Eastern Illinois guy. Like, maybe he has some Chicago connections, gets an itch. I mean, you see him calling plays on the air. He knows every play call that's out there. He could be someone that nobody's thinking about that could be fun to have a head coach at. And also, let's give a shout-out to the Bulls here a little bit. Diehard
yeah.
Bulls fan.
I'm excited.
Camp over today, so love to hear some of that later.
No,
thanks,
I'm definitely
guys.
Excited.
Listen, appreciate you guys.
Yeah, Dizzle, thank you. We're excited for Bulls. The Bulls are in training camp today.
You can make a holiday parody song after that call. Somebody can.
Oh, Dizzle, yeah, Tony Romo.
Tony.
As the coach.
Tony Romo's
I'm
not going
to I'm actually all
coach.
For that. Can we do that?
No.
Get him off the
I'm
TV
down,
broadcast?
Yeah, get him out of the
That'd
booth.
Be great. That'd be fantastic.
You don't like Tony Romo as a commentator?
What's it like?
He'd make a third of what he's making right now to have to work 16-hour days instead of show up once a week.
Ooh, Trubisky, don't do that! Neither of the fellas behind the glass are part of the Tony Romo fan club.
Yeah, they don't love Tony Romo.
Terrible.
312-332-3776. Get ready to win.
Get that tease in.
Get that. What tease do you think I'm going to give right now, Tony?
If I had to guess.
I know.
Jim, Tom, we got the top 20 Bears coming up next. Jim, your chance at a Great Clips gift card. Jim.
You're absolutely right, Tony! The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the Waddle and Sylvie Show presents the countdown of the 20 greatest Chicago Bears players of the last 50 years.
Dick Butkus was pretty scary, huh?
Here he is, Galloping Gale, carrying the mail.
The best is yet to come, it really is.
Mike Ditka's NFC champions were as bold on offense as they were on defense in this title game. As McMahon rifled a deep pass from his own end zone.
Quick pitch to Walter, looking for the record, cuts back, he's got it!
Pass is intercepted by that guy, Brian Urlacher.
Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. presented by Great Clips.
Great Clips wants you to know they're open. They want you to feel good about getting a great haircut. That's why they created the Great Care Promise. From contactless online check-in to requiring masks for both stylists and customers, it's their commitment to helping you look great and stay as safe as possible in the salon. Great Clips, it's going to be great. All salons are independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures.
The countdown continues with the fourth greatest Bears player of the last 50 years.
Go Bears!
I know this one, Waddle, is very near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, Dan Hampton was another one of my favorite teammates and a guy I enjoyed working with after football as well. Hamp was as talented as it came. Dan Hampton was a four-time first-team All-Pro member. He was a two-time second-team All-Pro team member. He was the Defensive Player of the Year in 1982, and he's a member of the 1980s All-Decade team. If you're wondering who's on that All-80s Decade team defensively, Reggie White and Howie Long are the defensive ends. Randy White and Dan Hampton are the defensive tackles. That's pretty high cotton, as Hamp would probably tell you. It was a great player. Played defensive end and defensive tackle.
Right.
Very deserving of his number four spot on this list.
You said, I think, at J.J. Watt's beginning of his career, you said Dan Hampton was J.J. Watt before J.J. Watt.
Yeah, I thought how J.J. Watt played the game reminded me a lot of Hamp. Physically, they were the same, very long, angular, could play inside, could play outside. Hamp had a tremendous career. That defense was just something else.
It was. And the thing that I always remember as a kid about Dan Hampton was it didn't matter how banged up he got, he would play the next week.
Yep.
And like the famous stories always go, didn't he get like a cleanup in his knee one time and he played like 8 days later or something like that?
Yeah,
he was days later.
That whole crew back then was built the same way. They wanted to play every Sunday. It didn't matter what physically they were having to deal with. But can you just imagine a defense that had Hamp, McMichael, Dent, Singletary, you had Otis,
Wilbur Marshall,
Fencick. I mean, you talk about an embarrassment of
Duerson,
riches.
L.A. Mike, yeah, I mean, come
crazy.
On now.
Crazy.
And Leslie Frazier, before he got hurt,
yeah,
was
fantastic.
One of the better corners in the league.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt in the Super Bowl. Dan Hampton, too. Do you know the odd thing I always notice about Dan Hampton? Pants super high. Like
yes.
All the way, like, I mean, his waist is really high, right?
McMichael was the same way. They used to, like I always used to say, they used to wear their football pants underneath their nipples.
It was crazy, yes.
I mean, they pulled way up high.
Yeah, Dan Hampton, our number four overall Bear, caller 20 right now.
He used to say about me as well, you know what he used to say? He used to look at me every now and again. He said, kid, small, slow, and friendly is no combination for this NFL.
He always has the catchphrases, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Boy, there's some good stories between what Dent used to say to you.
Hold
him.
Yeah, and then, yeah, just hold him. We'll be back to score.
Small, slow,
Rich,
and friendly.
We're the offense.
That is great.
Yeah.
Caller 20 right now, you'll win a $50 gift card to Great Clips, 312-332-3776. Great Clips.
It's going to be great.
Here's a question I want to ask.
By the way, I just want people to know this. I'm not playing radio here.
Who's accusing you of playing radio?
Nobody. I just want people to.
So why do you think that?
I don't know. I mean, this is not just, I'm not doing this for the sake of radio. I'm looking at what this Bears team is. And I'm looking at what's ahead of them the next 4 weeks. And I'm just saying, don't be shocked if they do a little bit of a switcheroo here. And we're having a different conversation. Not different like, oh, my God, these guys are great. But, oh, no, are we going to get more of the same going forward?
It's just they ruin your season after 5-1. They completely blow up. They have zero offense that resembles today's offense. And then now you're telling me now they're going to rally just enough to avoid changes? That's football hell. That's the definition of football hell.
Would you put it past this group?
No,
right.
No.
That's my point.
And again, all I want is to trust the crew up there in Hallis Hall to pick the next quarterback. And they haven't gotten that right. And
nope.
I can't let them do it. I can't let these guys do it. No matter how nice their hair are or how good of guys they
are. Well, and again,
they can't do it.
I said it a bunch. You know, it's not one mistake. You whiffed on the free agent signing. You whiffed on the draft. you whiffed on the trade. Those are the only paths you have to signing a player regardless of position, but specifically the quarterback position.
Right.
You gave big money in a free agency deal to Mike Glennon. You moved up in the draft to number two with Mitch, and you traded for Nick Foles. And none of those moves have worked.
Yeah, yeah. We've got holiday parody songs coming up at 3:15. We also have an announcement, and I think you're going to like this at 3:15, about the prizes. This could be the best grouping of prizes we've ever had for the holiday parody song contest. We think everyone will approve. We think this will motivate people. We'll give you all the details at 3:15. And coming up in 2 short minutes, Mark Potash is going to join us, who covers the Bears. And I want to ask him this question. I want to say, Potsy, does Matt Nagy have the right to criticize the defense? We'll start with that in 2 short minutes.